here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Paul Proctor. We're going to be talking about the church growth movement and, of course, this idea of blessed subtractions. What's a blessed subtraction? That's somebody who dares to challenge the leaders of a church who want to take the church into what I believe is apostasy. Now, of course, it's not so clear to the average individual. There's a tremendous enthusiasm about the church growth movement. What they want you to do is get you into a lot of Bible translations. Why a lot of Bible translations? Well, the Bible is the official word of God. But which one? They're so different. And, of course, Mr. Peterson's book, The Message, which, of course, is one of the favorites of the people in the church growth movement, at least Rick Warren. And, of course, there's so many things in that that really take you right into the New Age. They change the translation. They change so much of the Word of God. And then if you got 15 translations, how can you memorize Bible verses? Because they're all different in every translation. And that's why they do it. They're confusing you, and then they're going to bring in new music, music that is almost like a mantra, and of course it's got a tremendous beat to it. Some of it is worse than others, but it's not Christian music at all. It's rock music with a tremendous beat, not like the great hymns of old, but it's new music, and then the message changes. But enough of my talking. Paul Proctor has been on the front lines of this battle. He's written extensively about it. You'll find his articles up on the internet, and of course he's been in the church that went through this, and it rips the very heart out of the church, and many people are forced to leave the church, which is their church. Either that, or, of course, compromise their principles and go along with the new message and the new music and the new gospel. Paul, thank you so much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us what your impression is. You know, as we begin looking at this, what is this really all about? I mean, certainly they say we want to bring more people into the church. We want to bring more people to God. We want to change society. And Christianity is going to change society. But as I look at society, is society getting better or worse?
Well, apparently not. From their own people, from Barna.org, the Barna group that evaluates all the quote-unquote statistics for the Christian world, apparently they're not doing too good of a job with this. They're not having much success in spite of their claims.
Well, maybe we ought to just do more. Maybe if we just had more influence of this, changing the gospel and getting more people to come in, and then we'll water down gospel. Maybe that would be more beneficial.
Well, I'm sure they'll try just about anything at this stage. It's all about... Of course, what they—it's kind of like politicians. What they say and what they do are entirely different. And if you try to point that out to them, well, then you're just being mean-spirited and divisive and difficult. And they need to remove you from the fellowship if you're unwilling to cooperate and sign the church membership covenants or whatever is necessary to win your cooperation.
Well, of course, my understanding is that this is all really a technique. I mean, it has nothing to do with Christianity. It has to do with a management technique that is designed to control the people in the church and make them really forced to go along with this. There's no free choice as traditionally in Christianity. Everything's about force and manipulation and destroying and of course, demonizing you and forcing you out of the church if you don't go along with it. Don't they call you a blessed subtraction? Isn't that their term?
Yeah, I think that term originally, as best I can ascertain, originally came from Charles Finney, and of course Rick Warren picked up on it and used it in a negative sense.
I will be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and we're talking about the church growth movement, the purpose-driven church, and there's so many good people who have embraced this philosophy. You know, of course, maybe they're a little concerned about the message that is being stressed. This is a new Bible translation, one of many that is used, but of course it's the most outlandish one of all, with strong New Age and occultic overtones within it, but the average Christian doesn't know enough about the New Age to understand where these terms come from. They may feel something's a little wrong, but they don't understand it. They know something's not quite right about the music and almost the mantra that is so much modern-day Christian music, doing away with the great hymns of yesterday that had so much doctrine and theology in them, and replaced them with very childish, repetitious, you know, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, almost like you were preparing people to go into a trance. That's how you hypnotic techniques is to a rhythm. It almost seems that everything is changing in the church. Our guest today is Paul Proctor, and we're going to talk about really dramatic changes that are taking place. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, they want to grab you by your emotions and your appetites, it seems. That's how they appeal to you. They call it your felt needs. I believe Maslow would refer to it as the hierarchy of needs. But they're appealing to the flesh, basically, is what they're doing, and they justify it by way of pragmatism. They believe that the end justifies the means, so they can do whatever they feel is necessary to bring people into the quote-unquote fellowship, and employ anything they feel necessary to do that, and they feel self-justified in doing that. They also use consensus, otherwise known as the Hegelian dialectic, and they know that we all want to be loved, especially in a group situation. We want to be favored, or we want to be accepted in that group situation. The best way to be accepted in a group situation is to go along with the crowd and find out what is the most popular train of thought or belief or value, and go along with that and support that group, and then you'll be loved by the group. Anybody that stands out and objects is going to go against the group and go against whoever's facilitating that group, and they're going to pay an emotional price for their opposition. So consequently, if you go in with "Thus saith the Lord" and start espousing the word of God, that may not be popular in a group, especially in a diverse group of saved, unsaved, maybe saved people, you're not going to be very popular.
But now, wait a minute, Paul. Doesn't everybody have a right to their opinion in a Bible study? Shouldn't we all have the right to tell, you know, our interpretation of what the Scriptures say? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we're talking about the changes certainly in Christianity. And, of course, one of the best way to confuse people is to get multiple Bible translations, and especially some of the more modern Bible translations that, of course, most people are not clever enough to realize when there really are New Age implications. But one of the New Age translations that is really stressed by the purpose-driven church and the purpose-driven life is the message. Have you gone into the background of what the message is really all about? This wonderful new translation, which is used over and over again in the book, The Purpose-Driven Life.
Well, I've read enough of it to know that I don't care for it.
But of course,
that's the nicest thing I can say about it.
But of course, can you really pin down what they're doing? Because we have a wonderful new book. It's called Deceived on Purpose, and it simply goes into the background of the message and, of course, what this is all about, and it is introducing people into the New Age beliefs. Now, whether Rick Warren may not even understand what he's doing, but somebody has certainly given him these ideas. The book suggests these are the ideas of Robert Schuller, who certainly is very, very unorthodox in his view of Christianity, very successful. But very unorthodox, because he doesn't believe you have to be a Christian to get into heaven. And anybody who doubts that, we have a wonderful video. It's called The Amazing Clips, and you can either get the short version or you can get the 3.5-hour version. But the short version tells you, you'll actually see why Schuller interviewing one of the leading evangelists, saying, do you have to be a Christian to get to heaven? And the leading evangelist says, I don't think you have to be a Christian to get to heaven. So if you don't have to be a Christian to get to heaven, Christianity must be a lie.
Well, what you need, apparently, in Shuler's way of thinking, you need pride in self. He calls it self-esteem, but that's essentially self-pride, and that's what drives not only his belief system, but the belief system of his proteges, Rick Warren and Bill Hybels, among many others. And we know, you know as well as I do, that there's no room for pride in the presence of the Lord.
Well, of course, but don't we get away from this sort of awe of the Lord? Certainly there's no, we get away from this idea of sin, or we get away from the idea of hell or eternal damnation. But, of course, you feel a lot better about yourself if you never stress the fact that we're sinners. As if we're sinners, we don't really need a Savior.
Well, I mean, you know, as long as the T-shirt says, as long as Jesus is my homeboy, I mean, who am I going to be afraid of? He's my pal. He's my buddy. I can relate to him because he's really not much different than me, is he? I mean, that's what they want to present to you. They want to present this irreverent, humanistic gospel. It's very horizontal. If you really look at it, in the big picture, it's all very horizontal. They want to use the name of Jesus. They want to present Christ, but the actual modus operandi is horizontal. It's all about relationships. That's the only thing that's important, is human relationships. And they will just drive it into the ground and use Scripture to support it.
Well,
all the while minimizing the relationship you have with Christ that involves obedience and repentance. All those negative concepts that we're trying to filter out of church life these days.
Well, now, what happened? You were, of course, you're from the Chicago area. Your church went into the church growth movement, and you didn't want to go along with that?
Well, it was really interesting. Of course, I'm a little south of Chicago and near Nashville, but the pastor of my former church was one, I learned later, was one of the men who actually helped revive the conservative movement within Southern Baptists. For those that were not familiar, for many years the seminaries and Southern Baptist Convention was very infected with liberal concepts and ideas and professors and teachers and so forth, and there was a big uprising several years ago. And this pastor that I had such respect for actually received an award for being one of the leaders in this conservative recapture of Southern Baptist life.
And don't you think he's really very sincere? He really wants to do the Lord's work. He just wants to bring in a lot more people. But it's almost like, well, we see this so often today in these multi-level marketing schemes. You know, you're promised prosperity if you just go along with this. And suddenly success becomes your major motivator. You forget everything else. You want to do everything you can to be a success in this multi-level marketing. And it's almost the same thing has happened as 350,000 Protestant ministers and church leaders have been indoctrinated in how to succeed with this church growth movement. It's really a matter of success, a matter of management, and learning, of course, the techniques that can be utilized to make the church grow. But, of course, is it growing in faith, or is it just growing?
Well, they've subtly turned everyone's attention away from the Word of God, away from the whole counsel of God, and they've maybe focused on a few very positive, positive scriptures, and then they've refocused their attention on results. Now, results are a marketing concept. We want to get results, and if you focus on results instead of obedience to God's word, then you're going to have to result to this pragmatism thing we've talked about. You're going to have to result to the end justifies the means philosophy that, obedience really isn't that important because the Lord wants results. We tend to think of it in business terms. Well, we need results here. We need productive happening, at least something that we can show people visually that we are successful at what we're doing.
Well, don't you think the Lord wants us to succeed?
Well, He wants us to obey. And if we obey, then He will succeed in doing whatever it is He wants to accomplish, not what church growth gurus want to accomplish for whatever reason. If it's for monetary gain, if it's for emotional glory, or, you know, for whatever it is, if it's for church growth, if it's for something that's seemingly honorable, that's not ours to be concerned with. Ours is first to obey the Lord. Seek first the Lord, and that should be our that should be what we're about, is obeying God.
But Paul, I mean, wouldn't it be a great thing to have a church grow, and you could enlarge the church, and you could have better facilities, and you could have a gymnasium, and you could have a school, and you could have maybe a nursing home, and think of all the good you could do with all the money you're going to get from all these new people coming into the church.
Yeah, I mean, they take a very pragmatic, very business-like approach to it, because that's what the flesh appreciates. It appreciates what it can see, what it can hear, what it can feel, and it's eye candy.
Now, isn't this
and
basically...
You know as well as I do, you can build the biggest church in the country and fill it to the brim, and the people inside may or may not even be Christians.
Well, of course, is the church growth for the glory of God, or is it for the glory of the people who lead the church? In other words, they want to show that they can be successful. And how does this whole idea tie into the marketing techniques of a man named Peter Drucker, who revolutionized the corporate structure in America and then revolutionized our schools, and now he's setting out to revolutionize our churches and change the music and the message of our churches?
Yeah, he's a man that has no belief in absolute values. He believes that society evolves and that we just need to take a pragmatic approach and go after the customer. I mean, he asked the question, "Who is our customer?" Well, the church can't ask who is our customer. I mean, the customer is not always right. It may be in the business world, but in the church world, the sinner, the unsaved sinner, cannot come before God and make demands. The church is not out to please the lost. When we do that, then we've undermined the entire gospel message, where the sinner needs to humble himself in repentance and faith and come to Christ, not trusting in himself, not seeking himself, but simply seeking God.
Well, of course, you know, the thing that really worries me is that they seem to be more concerned about success than anything, and they're following, of course, man's approach. And there's a wonderful minister, John MacArthur, and he's put together a 5 videotape series. I wish we could carry it. We don't, but we can tell people how to get it if they want to. 5 hours of a talk that John MacArthur, who's, I think, one of the greatest ministers of today, gave, entitled, "Does Truth Matter?" Does truth matter? Does the gospel really matter, or are we here simply to grow the congregation? Are we here to increase the tithe? Are we here, of course, to be a success in this world? Are the old traditions of America, the theology of our Christian church, really important? Maybe if we watered it down, it would be more acceptable. Have you run into this attitude? Certainly people don't want the old-time religion. They want something that makes them feel good about themselves.
Well, then we get back into the self-esteem issue. And, of course, what drives this culture, this Western culture, is fashion. It's all about fashion. What's the latest thing? What's the newest, hottest, greatest, biggest, most exciting thing there is? Well, that's what they're trying to create in the church. And that's not what the church was designed for. It was for equipping the saints, edifying and equipping the saints. We're not doing any of that. We're not equipping them. We're not edifying them. We're entertaining them. And we're making them feel good about themselves. And if you concentrate, especially among the unsaved, helping them to love themselves and take pride in themselves, how are they ever going to know the love of God?
I share your concerns about what's happening today. I think that most people don't see it. We're told in the latter days there's going to be a great apostasy, a great falling away. And, of course, people said, well, I'm saved. I don't have anything to worry about. And yet, of course, look and see what's happening in the church. Are they preaching the Word of God, or are they mentioning the Word of God along with the social gospel of how to get along with your husband, how to get along with your wife, how to get along with the people you work with, how to get along with your boss? Are we using this to pursue the Word of God and so we'll understand, or are we feeling better about ourselves? We'll be right back here with Paul Proctor.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I suggest if you're out there listening, audience, and if you disagree or you agree, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and I would simply reiterate what John MacArthur, who I think is one of the greatest ministers of our time, has said, and that is that, and the question, does truth matter? Does the traditional scriptures matter, or should we try to sort of water this down to make people feel more at home? After all, we want them to come in, and if people feel guilty when they leave church on Sunday, they may not be back the next time. So maybe if we just water down the gospel, why, things would be a lot better. There was a great minister 100 years ago named Charles Spurgeon, who was one of the great ministers of England. And the same thing was happening in England in his day, and he spoke out against it, and he was viciously attacked. Why? He was just old-fashioned. He was using the old-fashioned Bible. He didn't want to progress into the 20th century, and Spurgeon was driven from his pulpit because he would not compromise his principles. And you go to England today, and of course, there is just no Christian influence at all. I did a radio program over there recently, spoke about Christianity, and viciously attacked for daring to think that there really is a such thing as supernatural forces in the world today, that there are demonic forces, that we are involved in a spiritual battle, that there is a God. Religion has been wiped out of England. And of course, you can't destroy Christianity from without. You destroy it from within, and you make it more or less irrelevant. What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
Well, you bring up an excellent point. And most of the time, most of the people that I've spoken with on this issue or have emailed me, even if they didn't understand what was happening to their church, they knew in their heart that something was wrong. I know you've heard that as many times as I have. They have a discernment. The Lord has spoken to them on the inside and told them something was wrong. And so, I mean, it's like Jesus standing before Pilate. And Pilate said, "What is truth?" You know, Jesus speak the truth to him, but it wouldn't make any sense to Pilate. Pilate didn't have the discernment. He didn't have the understanding. His ears were unable to hear the truth. And that's what I see among those who support and promote this church growth movement, is they don't have any ears for the truth. They don't have any discernment that you can speak the truth.
But I know an awful
lot. Scripture right at them, and they don't know what you're saying. It doesn't register with them.
But I know a lot of wonderful, wonderful people who've embraced this, and I have no question that they love the Lord. I just think that they perhaps don't understand what happens when you begin watering down the scriptures and watering down the theology and try to become acceptable to the world. And the excuse is given, well, we've got to get the young people in.
Yeah, they take a carnal approach. I mean, that's one of the tactics that they use when they begin to transform a church, is they do that crisis, you know, just like the government does when it wants to initiate some hideous program, is they present a crisis. Well, that's what they do from the pulpit in the church growth movement. They introduce a crisis. We have this crisis, you know, when all the school shootings were so prominent in the news, you know. Well, in my former church, I mean, that's what they talked about. Well, we got to get to our young people before this happens to them. We're in a desperate situation here, and when men get in desperate situations like that, their faith tends to fade in God, and it becomes very self-absorbed and self-dependent, and even group-dependent. And so they want to try to experiment and try new and different things in order to accomplish what God has already set out and designed for us to do His way.
Well, we've got Regis calling us. Maybe we can get his question in, and then we'll ask him to wait until after the break for the answer. Regis is calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Regis, did you have a question for our guest?
Maybe you can clarify something. I heard a program by Noah Hutchings on Watchmen on the Wall, and they had similar comments made about this program, the Purpose Driven Life and the Purpose Driven Church. But it seemed like it was like vague explanations. I mean, there wasn't like specific concrete wrongs that was being done. They were talking about the different Bibles that were used, and they watered it down. And I totally agree with that. I always was suspicious when they sold so many of his copies, the book, that I wondered how true to the truth it was when millions are being sold by the general public. But I could you give me something really specific that I can? So many people, you know, I tell them about this, and they say, "Well, what exactly can you point to as a criticism that it is evil, that it is wrong?"
All right, fine. I'm so glad you asked that question, but you're gonna have to wait till after we take the break to get the answer to the question. Will you hang on for us?
Yes, I will.
Okay, fine. Well, Regis is calling, and of course we're gonna let Paul answer that. It sounds like a tough question, so I'll let him feel that when we get back. And oh, well, maybe I'll have some thoughts, but the important thing, I want to hear what Paul has to say. Hang on there, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
I
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that one of the things that you out there in the listening audience can do to help us address the very real problems we have, not only political but spiritual, because this is all spiritual, is to understand the foundation of our freedom. And there is, being held every Saturday morning for the next four Saturdays, a meeting of the Institute of the Constitution. It's a three-hour program. You'll get a chance to watch videos. You'll get a chance to learn the foundations of the faith of the founding fathers of this country. The telephone number to call to learn more about these programs, 877-448-5798. That's 877-448-5798. You don't have to go out and buy the Institute of the Constitution software and material. Why, you can go and learn. And then, of course, once you begin to learn, one of the most exciting things to realize is America was founded as a Christian country. Gee, I wonder why they don't teach that in our schools today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Paul Proctor, who writes extensively on the church growth movement, having been in a church like this and having been forced to leave that church, becoming a blessed subtraction, because they will simply make your life miserable. They will force you out of the church if you don't go along with it. And that is not a very Christian thing to do, but that's the way it works. Well, anyway, Regis is calling from Pittsburgh, though, and he says, look, give me some specifics. I mean, yes, there's we hear Pastor Noah Hutchings talking about it. Everything is a little vague, and I will tell you, of course, Pastor Hutchings is against it, or for something, you better be for it. If he's against it, you better be against it. But maybe a justifiable criticism, where are the facts? As a Sergeant Friday would say, just the facts, ma'am. So with that as a background, Paul, how would you respond to Regis, who says, look, I've heard about this, you know, I know something's wrong, but I want something I can talk to people about?
What you can talk about is the absence of any emphasis on repentance. He might mention it occasionally, but very seldom is the idea of repentance, because repentance is hard on one's self-esteem. When the Purpose-Driven Life first came out, Aaron Curry, a Baptist Press reporter, interviewed him, and Warren was quoted as saying his goal for the Purpose-Driven Life was to help people develop a heart for the world. Now, to some people, this is an excellent example of just how subtle this deception is. Because that sounds very honorable, that sounds very good, to develop a heart for those. It's very emotional, it's very humanistic, it appeals to the modern culture, for us to develop a heart for the world. But the Bible doesn't teach that. There's nowhere in Scripture where we are told to develop a heart for the world. Scripture actually says in 1 John, Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. But see, when people hear that the purpose of life is to help people develop a heart for the world, they think, oh, that's wonderful. That's so loving. That's so kind. No, well, that's very unscriptural.
All right, well, fine.
Am I still on?
Yes, sure. Go ahead, Jesus.
I totally agree with you. Would you believe Rick Warren is he's doing this on purpose? He knows exactly what he's doing, or is he like duped by the devil? Is he, you know, fooled? Because this is so sublime, and
I can't look in his heart, and I can't tell you whether he's doing it purposely, or if he himself is deceived, or maybe both.
Yeah.
I really can't do that. At times, I think, how could somebody not see this? How could somebody not see what they're doing? And I've asked others who are very familiar with this movement, and they say, and they're very familiar with Rick Warren, they say he knows exactly what he's doing.
Vegas, let me suggest that we're carrying a great new book. It's called Deceived on Purpose. It's written by a fellow named Warren Smith, who came out of the New Age. And, of course, this whole theme is basically that Rick Warren is pushing the philosophy and the theology of Robert Schuller. Although he won't admit this, he won't attribute it to Robert Schuller, it's really Robert Schuller's theology. And Robert Schuller has an entirely different theology than, of course, Christian theology. He sees nothing wrong with bringing New Agers into his church and, of course, introducing from the pulpit. And, of course, Bruce Wilkinson, many Gorbachev. He will actually, and, of course, we have this wonderful videotape that we offer where he's actually talking to this evangelist saying, do you need to be a Christian to get to heaven? And the evangelist finally says, no, I don't think you need to be a Christian to get to heaven. And that's called in our amazing clips. But if you go down, what they've done is they've changed the message of the Scriptures. They've changed the theology of the Scriptures. And, of course, as you point out, they're using all these different Bibles intentionally to confuse people. They know exactly what they're doing, or at least, of course, I believe that Robert Schuller knows what he's doing. I'm not sure if Rick Warren does. But, of course, what they've done is they've come into this whole idea of the immanence of God. God is in everyone, and he is in everything. And I think it's so important that what we have to realize is that they're changing the entire thrust very subtly. Of the Scriptures. Go ahead.
Can I ask one other question?
Sure, go ahead.
What is the purpose or the psychology behind having these small groups in people's homes where they read the, you know, a chapter or a week, and they're run by people who actually are not theologians or ministers or deacons in the church, and they sit in these groups and they talk about what they read. Is it the blind leading the blind, or what's the reason by going that route? Do they actually hope to bring people in that are true believers?
Would you like to address that, Paul?
To either one of you, because that's the technique that they use in many churches. Is they have these home studies over a period of half a dozen weeks or so.
All right, and I think this is very good. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, an amazing thing happens when you become part of a small group, something that generally won't happen in a large group. In a small group, our inhibitions are greatly reduced, and we're more inclined to open up emotionally to those around us and interact more. And when we interact more, we have a tendency to express a lot of opinions. And so if you give those in a small group, now in a large group, you know, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency in a large group to not say a word and listen to a particular speaker, and which is a very, very common thing. But in a small group, you're encouraged to talk more. And when you get a small group of people emotionally interacting, it's very easy for the absolute truth of God to get sidelined. That doesn't always happen, but if you facilitate that setting and you encourage a lot of opinions, especially in a diverse group among believers, unbelievers, people from various religions, then what you're going to get is a mixture of beliefs and values and theologies and doctrines. And then what happens, and they know this, they know this because this is the way the Hegelian dialectic works, is that these ideas become fused, and a person's religion becomes built on group consensus, on group opinions. A little bit of this, a little bit from this person, a little bit from the next person, until you form your religion not on the absolute truth of God, not on God's word, not on his eternal, unchanging word, but on a group opinion. And when you do that, they're more flexible, they're more movable.
And is the psychology, because you're in close quarters with people, and it's so personal, that you don't want to offend them?
Exactly.
And you bond with them. And the whole idea is, once you bond with these people, no matter how terrible things get in the church, you'll never leave, because your friends are there. And they will tell you, if you have 7 friends in the church, you'll never leave. And they can do whatever they want to with you. They know this is a business technique, the business management technique. It's all mind games they're playing, because there is no leader saying, this is the word of the Lord, this is what God's word says. No, it's, what do you think about it? What do you think about it? Charlie, what do you think about it? Regis, what do you think? It's not what you think, it's what does God's word say. But when you got all these different translations of the Bible, then, Chris, maybe there really isn't any word of God, is there?
Well, how are so many pastors and churches, a variety of churches, I believe, you know, God-fearing, educated pastors, being duped by this? I mean, it's mind-boggling when I hear, you know, 40,000 churches.
Successful.
Pardon me?
They all want to be loved, and they want to be successful. See, that's one of the. Of course, we mentioned this earlier, but in a group situation, we want to be loved. We want to be accepted by that group, and so we will go along with whatever the group decides. Much more than in a situation like that than a different setting. And these pastors get in small groups. They call them accountability groups that involve other pastors. And then there's facilitators in that group. And of course they don't want to go against what their group of pastors is doing in the community. So they will generally go along in order to be loved and accepted by the group.
That's very frightening.
It's all very frightening. Well, look, we're going to have to go.
Well,
but
thank you very much for your time.
Regis, let me suggest we have not only the book Deceived on Purpose, we have a great video. It's called Diaprax in the Church, and it's the story of the technique. It's all about technique and where that technique comes from spiritually. We have a great 4-tape set on the church growth movement. We're putting another one together. And when you realize that I believe that many of the ministers, maybe even Rick Warren, is deceived. I don't know what's in his heart, but I do know that this technique is Peter Drucker's technique. The theology is Robert Schuller's, and of course, they're not going to tell you that. Thanks so very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to John calling from Los Angeles. Hi, John.
Well, hi. My question, I guess, expands somewhat on the other caller's inquiry into the pastors. And I was thinking, of course, this Deceived on Purpose might address it, but it seems like an expose of the techniques that was widely promoted might help, immunize pastors and maybe even allow some of them to recover from what they fall into with all this malarkey that they get hoodwinked into. I was just thinking what the possibilities were for that, to alert the clerical leadership as to what the real problems are with this and how it managed to grab hold of people.
What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
Well, it's much easier for them in this day and time to concentrate on relationships, and when they do that, they don't spend time in the Word of God to hear what God has to say. They're more interested in what their church members have to say, what the surveys say, what their church pastors and the small groups say. And when you do that, when you fill your days with all the opinions of the people around you, you don't have much time for what God says, for thus saith the Lord.
In fact, what's really so interesting, in the past, John, ministers spent a lot of time reading the scriptures and preparing sermons. Now you can get your ready prepared sermon from Rick Warren. They're up on the website.
Yeah, I've seen his website.
But they have special websites for sermon ministers. They don't have to read the gospel anymore. They can get the canned sermons. They spend all their time in church management and getting rid of those blessed subtractions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe the problem is how can we inspire, or I don't know what else, the pastors to be interested in the word and not to be caught up in these worldly concerns.
I think if you get some of the material we have, and certainly go to Barrett-Chose's website. And
yes.
Paul, do you have a website?
Newswithviews.com is where my column is posted, and they can go to my archives there. And I've written, that's what I write about most of all and have written about over the past several years, different aspects of the church growth movement.
Paul's done a great job. Hey, thanks so much for calling, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Chris calling from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much for this topic.
I'll tell you what, I'll get a lot of flack. I'll get a lot of emails, and a lot of people just tell me how terrible I am, but I have to do what I think is right, and I believe that there is a great apostasy sweeping the church today, and this movement is intent upon changing the world. And you read, of course, what the Rick Warren talks about. They are going to change the whole world. This is what it's about.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, with the politics of religion and then who's the Christian president? I hear so much of that. It's another, like the last caller saying, it's such a feel-good thing. Well, every time these large churches like Southeast Christian Church here say, well, Bush is such a Christian, he'll do it. They look to Washington, but they don't look to God. And I've been to big churches like that, and I've left, and I've been to smaller churches and done the same thing. Well, Washington will do it, but they're Christians. But you know they're elitist, and you can't get through the minds, or they're afraid to say it, or what's going to happen. You know, they're going to leave the, going to get their pastor out of the church. You can't do this or can't say that, or, you know, go along and say what we loan and just to be loved, like the last caller's saying. And this is the political thing, is these elections. The president's not God. God is the true God in heaven. And this is a real problem in many, many churches all the time.
It's sweeping across America today. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
I just want to say keep up the good work, and I'll give some of your other callers a chance.
God bless. Thanks so much.
God bless.
Let's go to Robert, who's calling from Ohio. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Real well. I've got a quick question. I missed some of your broadcasts. I was working and listening to it at the same time. You mentioned two things. I heard some time ago about the video between the interview between Robert Shuler and Billy Graham on Marlon Maddox's point of view over a year ago. You said you have that available.
Yes, we have
it.
It's called The Amazing Clips. You can get the 15-minute version, I think, for $9.95, and of course, the three-hour version, which it covers a lot of things for quite about $39.95. You can get the $9.95 version if that's all you want to see.
Okay. One other question. You mentioned something about they have used the saying of Charles Finney, or used some statement that you know, sort of to propagate their idealism. Could you repeat that, please?
What, Paul? You want to comment on that?
Well, we just mentioned that one of the very popular phrases in use today to get the objectors or the resistors in within the church growth movement, to get those who resist the church growth movement, get them out. They refer to them negatively as blessed subtraction.
Well, now, was that what Charles Finney was referring to 100 years ago?
Well, my understanding is that it was, but I can't validate that. I can't document that. But my understanding is that's what it involved. Difficult people within the church, of course. When you bring the church growth movement into a church, you're going to divide a church. It's not the objectors that divide the church. It's the movement that the programs that they bring in that divide the church. And of course, when you do that, you're going to get objectors, and those objectors are going to be handily referred to as blessed subtractions when they leave.
Okay. Anything else, Robert?
Well, I thank you for the information, and I'm glad that there's people out there putting it out. I enjoy your broadcast. May God bless you, and Jesus is still Lord.
God bless. Okay, and let's go to Ben from Salinas. Hi, Ben. You got to stay on the subject?
Yeah, I'm staying on the subject.
All right.
I think it's the most dangerous thing when the government and any facet would get involved in the power of your belief between you and your God. That includes your sexuality. The government must do the government's business, which is pretty much in the Constitution. And in my opinion is that we must vote to stop what's going on between the government and the religious right wing, or we must vote to another direction. In other words, you can vote for Bush to continue, if you like, what the government and the religions are doing and favoring each other and messing with the national treasury, or you can vote for any other person, one of which could be Kerry, for a change so that we change the direction of our country.
Well, let me ask you one thing, Ben. Where does our freedom come from?
Sure.
Where the, why is America different than any other country in the world?
You know what? We spilled blood for our vote, and that blood should live on for us.
Well,
and
where does our freedom come from?
Our freedom emanates from our willing to fight and die for what we believe in, including your family, your God, and your country, sir.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much, Ben. I would just suggest people read the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. It will tell us where our freedoms come from. Paul, thank you so very much for being with us. And it's a real pleasure. I appreciate your willingness to take a stand and look forward to having you on again real soon.
Always enjoy it, Stan. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back here in just a moment. But remember those words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created, equal and endowed by their Creator, with certain inalienable rights, and that governments are instituted among men to preserve those rights.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WALK and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just simply mention that you can get through Radio Liberty a lot of information that will help you better to understand what's going on in America, understand the spiritual battle that we talk about. We have a great new book. It's called Lucifer's Lodge, and it's written by a man named Kennedy. And, of course, he's Catholic. He's writing from a Catholic point of view, but he's pointing out that there really are satanic groups within the Catholic Church. And, of course, then we carry a four-tape set called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Malachi was a Jesuit priest who was, of course, a confidant of John Paul XXIII and of other popes. And he writes about the satanic cells within the Catholic Church and quotes Pope Paul VI, who talked about the smoke of Satan circulating above the Vatican. Now, this is not to say that there are not a lot of wonderful Catholics who love the Lord, and that's what it's really all about, but the churches, all of them, are being infiltrated from the dark side, and I believe the Protestant Church is being infiltrated from the dark side at the present time. We have a great new book. It's called Deceived on Purpose. That's Deceived on Purpose. It goes into the background of the church growth movement, and we do hope that many of you want to get that, as well as the other material that we have here at Radio Liberty. And the definitive book has not been written yet, but this is a very, very good book that will show how this Bible that is being stressed so much by Rick Warren, written by a man named Peterson, the message has strong occult overtones to it. And, of course, if you read the occult, and Rick Warren came out of the occult, and he points out that, of course, the terms used in the message, if you won't recognize them if you're a Christian, but if you're an occultist, you'll recognize them very clearly. That is Deceived on Purpose by Warren Smith, and we'll tell you more in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course the recurrent theme of our program is very simple. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of the people of this country. And really, of course, America was founded as a Christian nation. There are a lot of people who don't know that, who hate Christianity, but there are a lot of good people here in this country who really don't understand the foundations of our freedom, and we cover that so well in so many of the books we carry, The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye, Abandonment Theology by John Salfon, America's God and Country, by William Federer. And, of course, if you get one of our catalogs, we have four-tape sets on this subject. You have to understand that America was founded as a Christian nation. We're no longer a Christian nation. After all, they've taken God out of our schools, and we're embracing everything that God abhors as a nation. And, of course, it's not a function of the federal government to maintain our morality, but it is the function of our local government. I fear the federal government coming up with morality because, of course, it always makes the wrong choices. And that recent bill that, of course, everybody was so happy about, signed by the president, passed by both houses of legislature to outlaw partial birth abortion, what it really did was to codify in law Roe versus Wade. I think this should be handled at the local level, not at the federal level at all. Because, of course, if the government can protect life, the government can also take life. And that's the great tragedy. So, really, to understand the church growth movement, we have the book, Deceived on Purpose. Deceived on Purpose. We have a great video. It's called Diaprax in the Church. And it goes into the background of the church growth movement and its roots. It's where does it really come from? We have a four-tape set on the church growth movement, a four-tape set on the apostate church. And to really put things into their perspective, let me suggest, if you have not yet seen the video, they sold their souls for rock and roll. Why you really need to get that, either the 4-hour or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and you'll begin to understand the satanic nature of the forces that are at work within our society, and that many of these rock stars who've done so well, of course, have sold their souls to the devil. It goes into Michael Jackson. Why is Michael Jackson involved in pedophilia? Why is he constantly paying off parents not to bring suits for his molesting of children? What energizes Michael Jackson? Well, of course, you'll learn in this video, and what energizes so many of our modern rock stars. Well, they sold their souls for rock and roll. We'll take you into the background of how the movement, of course, is being used to usher in a new world order and a new world economy and currency and a new world religion. So those all the items are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember the material we have on the church growth movement, Deceived on Purpose. That is a book, four tape set on the church growth movement, on the apostate church, the video, Diaprax in the Church. So get this information, find out what it's about, and we'll be doing more programs on this. And of course, we want you to have the information so you can discuss it intelligently. Most of the people who are embracing this are good people. They just don't understand the origins of these ideas, which should not begin with Rick Warren. They begin with Robert Schuller. They begin with Peter Drucker. And of course, I think the forces behind them. If you want to get that video that shows certainly Robert Schuller asking and agreeing with the evangelist who says, you don't have to be a Christian to get into heaven, that's called The Amazing Clips. Remember the meeting we're having here on September the 6th, an all-day meeting at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. I hope many of you can come to that. That's all November 6th, a Saturday, all day. Lunch will be served. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 to make your reservation. And then, of course, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and pray for America, because America is under attack right from within. And, of course, they're going at our most vulnerable spot, the religious foundation of this once Christian nation. And then, of course, till tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.